In the name of Jesus, welcome. Welcome those of you, especially who are guests and newcomers among us. God bless you with the peace, light, and love of Christ Jesus that we as people of Queen Anne Lutheran Church experience each time we gather in God's name. At this time, I invite you to rise as you're able in body or spirit for our gathering hymn. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you show forth your almighty power, chiefly by reaching out to us in mercy. Grant us the fullness of your grace, strengthen our trust in your promises, and bring all the world to share in the treasures that come through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
This chapter begins the story of Elijah. God sends a drought on Israel because of the sins of King Ahab. This passage depicts God's saving acts not only on behalf of Elijah, but also on behalf of those who are associated with the prophet, even a foreigner, the widow of Zarephath. A reading from the book of Kings. The word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said. But first, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterwards, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail, until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as he and her household, ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, nor did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The letter to the Hebrews describes Christ as a high priest who offers himself as a sacrifice for our sin. Christ does not die again and again each year. He died once, is alive with God, and will reveal himself on the last day. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again, as the high priest enters the holy place year after year with blood that is not his own. For then he would have had to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after that the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks.
Please rise as you are able for the reading of the gospel.
Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which are worth a penny. And then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
If anyone asks Jesus what his message is, he could respond, "My message is my life." The thoughts of his heart, the words of his mouth, and the works of his hands are in perfect harmony. Jesus also quickly spots any lack of realization and integration, especially in other rabbis. So his teaching includes unmasking the discordant messages and behavior of the religious elite. Oh, these men are informed about God's word, which says, "Love your neighbor." But this teaching at the heart of Israel has not been taken into their hearts. And the result is hypocrisy, pretense, and duplicity. Or they say one thing, they do another. And Jesus is watching. What Jesus sees, basically, is that self-love has replaced love of God. They love all of the superficial externals and perks. Long robes, salutations in the marketplace, the best seats at synagogues and banquets. What they gravitate toward is anything that makes them the center. Even when they pray, it's for the sake of appearance. The ego, always unsure of itself, needs constant adulation. And these scribes are owned by their egos. Also, self-love has replaced love of neighbor. And in today's gospel, the neighbor is a widow. A widow whose meager resources are plundered by these scheming scribes. The widow is a symbol for the most vulnerable in Israel. Scripture reveals repeatedly that God cares for her in a special way. Psalm 68 proclaims, God is parent of orphans and protector of widows. God also makes justice toward the widow, a condition for residing with the people of Israel. But as we well know, the most vulnerable is also prey for the most rapacious. Throughout the gospel, Jesus has consistently championed human needs over the hardened practices of the synagogue. And now he targets the temple treasury. When Jesus sits opposite the treasury, it symbolizes that he's opposed to the whole temple atmosphere around money. It's a public affair with the rich parading their large sums. But Jesus is not concerned with the rich. They're never exploited. They give to the temple out of their surplus. Piety will never carry them away. And like the scribes, the rich take care of themselves. But this widow divests herself of all of her support. And so her generosity plays into the devouring greed of the temple. Those who are supposed to protect her leave her literally penniless. You see, in those days, the temple, the synagogue, was their community service hub. Widows were supposed to go there to receive care. The hungry were supposed to go there to receive food from the pantry. The cold were supposed to head in that direction, to the clothing closet for warmth. But what's most frightening is that she cooperates with her exploitation. And this is a condition that is often mentioned in literature on oppression. The exploited are so thoroughly co-opted that they do not see what is really happening. And they even unconsciously contribute to it. And this mistake is common. Oh, the widow may not grasp all that is going on, but Jesus hasn't missed it. It takes thoughtful and highly integrated people to notice the gap between what is preached and what is practiced. Which brings us back to Jesus, the widow, and the temple treasury. Many of us Lutheran Christians here have been formed by the teaching that all we have comes from God, and to give it back to God is an act of vibrant faith. This story is about the total claim faith makes on believers. The manifest objective of this way of thinking is to support the house of God. Because good is supposed to flow out from here to the world. And in my short time among you, I have seen that. As you support this house of God, warm and beautiful quilts go out from this place to different parts around the world. As you contribute to this house of God, hands leave this place eager to serve food to hungry and homeless people at All Pilgrims on Capitol Hill. As you support this house of God, folks are taught and preached God's word in such a way that you go to your friends and family members and neighbors and lend them a hand to hold in time of grief or loss or some other need. You carry the concern of God from this house out into the community. God's chronic concern has always been for the poor and the vulnerable. And this revelation precedes the temple construction and was one of the driving forces behind the exodus from Egypt. No temple policy should generate the expectation that the vulnerable should make themselves more vulnerable. And no widow should be allowed to impoverish herself. The temptation in wearing down injustice is to become more unjust than what we are attempting to wear down. Indeed, there is injustice everywhere. Injustice is both an individual habit and an ingrained social structure. And it is difficult to wear down something that is so pervasive. Oh, it may be exposed here and there, but it is never unmasked everywhere at once. But Jesus Jesus is a holy, integrated person and is in sync with the heart of God. You see, my dear sisters and brothers, in his dying, Jesus is the widow who put in everything he had. All that he had to live on for her. For you. And for me. The house of the parent of orphans and the protector of widows does not devour the houses of widows. Ever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Lord of glory, you have bought us with your lifeblood as the price, never grudging for the lost ones that tremendous sacrifice. And with that her freely given blessings countless as the sand to the unthankful and the evil with your unsparing hand. Grant us hearts, dear Lord, to give you gladly, freely of your own. With the sunshine of your goodness, melt our thankless hearts of stone, till our cold and selfish natures, warmed by you, at length believe that more happy and more blessed 'tis to
God has made us children through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into death. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
In our prayers this morning, we will also especially remember Kyle's father, who just a few moments ago has been transferred into the intensive care unit. So Kyle is on his way to Tacoma at this moment, and we are grateful that Lori Lynn has stepped in to play piano for the rest of the service. So be prayerful for... That's why I leave my accordion at home. Be prayerful for Kyle, his father and mother, and God is with him as he travels, and we hope to hear good news soon.
Renew our church, O God. Make us servants to one another for the sake of the gospel. Instill a heart for service and a passion for justice in our bishops, deacons, pastors, and lay leaders. Lord, in your mercy. Renew your creation, O God. Sustain the earth and seas and all that is in them. Kindle in us a reverent awe for all creatures, great and small. And strengthen us in our pursuit of climate justice. Lord, in your mercy. Renew your people, O God. Protect those in our communities who are vulnerable or ill, especially Almaz, Jan Olsen's daughter Ruth, Lisa's family upon the death of her mother Eunice, and prayers of thanks for the birth of their granddaughter, Isabel. Denny, Pastor Dan, Wayne, Lee, Angie and her daughter, Jessica, James, Allie's friend, Sarah, Jody Rutledge, for Kurt, Lisa, and Malachi, Bill, for Samuel and Zion and their mother, for Lisa's husband, Scott, Heidi's friend's grandchild, Beckett, Almaz's mother, Awatosh, and brother, Mulugeta, Matt's mother, Jean, Sally Wilson's great-nephew, Finley, Jean, Richard, Barb, and Hildy. Company persons who are unemployed or underemployed, children who are in foster care, and those who live alone. Watch over and uphold them, Lord, in your mercy. Renew this congregation, O God. Give us clarity in our mission and boldness in our witness. Bless our ministries that attend to basic needs of any who lack sufficient resources, that all may live with dignity. Lord, in your mercy. Happy are those whose help was in you. We give thanks for all your faithful ones who praised you as their God all their life long. As we eagerly wait for you, inspire us by their lives of service. Lord, in your mercy. We offer our prayers to you, gracious God, trusting in your boundless love for all that you have made through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
And the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with your neighbor. Please rise as you're able.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power. And earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, broke it, gave thanks, and gave it to the disciples to eat, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given into death for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "Take, drink. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Knowing that we are loved, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father,
save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Come and taste the joy of God.
Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sin, have mercy on us. Jesus,
Faithful God, you have spread before us a feast of rich food and drink in the body and blood of your Son. Now send us out to labor with you in service to the world you have made and among the people you have made your home. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Again, a warm welcome to those of you who are newcomers and guests among us. We are richer for your presence. Thank you for being here. And if you have a little time after the service concludes, please join us for some coffee, some yummies, and a rich conversation. Again, let's show appreciation to Lori and the choir for being our glue. Thank you. That's not an easy thing you did, stepping in like that, so much appreciated. Again, we'll be prayerful for Kyle and his family, and we'll give updates as we receive them, certainly. In the lobby, you'll see clipboards, a number of clipboards. I think there's something even for the beginning of the church year for the first Sunday in Advent, December 1st. Take a look at that. I still have a few more slots for home visits if you're able and interested in doing that. There might be other days and times that I can meet with you. Just come and contact me if you don't see something that works on the calendar. And then lastly, our service at All Pilgrims Church for their community lunch, we could still use a few more hands. So you will see a number of times and days for you to contribute something. I didn't include this in my homily, but I remember hearing a pastor do this with a children's word, and it stuck with me, and so I wanted to share it with you. It was in the context of our giving. And, right, we don't have any expectations for children, for the young folks among us, to put in, their wealth. But they have other forms of wealth. And so the pastor said, as the plate comes around, put in your best thoughts. Put in your best words. And put in your best actions. Let God work with that. So may it be so with you and among us at this time when the world needs the love of God in many different forms. Please rise as you're able for a blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.